Jason, we are at Soldier Field for the last time this year, and the result looked a lot like all the previous times. We'll talk about the Bears 6-3 loss to Seattle and more coming up on Hallis Intrigue.
That hurt me in the intro when you said 6-3 loss. To think of sitting through a football game that was 6-3. I don't think I've ever seen a 6-3 football game.
I can tell you this, the Bears have lost three games now when they've given up six or fewer points since 1971. It doesn't happen very often. I don't think the Bears have scored this few since 2002. So I've never seen anything like that at the NFL level. It would take my soul if I had a soul left to take.
I mean, you watched tonight in a stadium that was not full, in the rain, a very, very, very middling Seahawks team come across the country on a short week and win a 6-3 game, which I believe it was 6-3 at halftime. Yes, it was. There was nothing to tell you about from the second half other than more Bears clock mismanagement at the end that looked a lot like it did in Detroit. But, Patrick, here's the thing for me. I just saw, I think, the ugliest game of my journalism career. And Seattle played their part in that, too. And it was really kind of unremarkable for the Bears this year. That is the second time that they've only scored three points in a game. That's the third time they've scored fewer than 10. That's, I think, the fourth or fifth time that they've been under 200 yards. They were 5 of 15 on third down, which I probably could tell you after just about any game this season. Caleb Williams with the 53 passer rating. That's, I think, the fifth or sixth time he's been under 70. Caleb Williams with 150 yards or 120 yards. What did he end up with? Caleb Williams finished the game 16 of 28 for 122 yards. That's the third or fourth time he's been under 150. I mean, this was actually as bad and ugly as this was. This is not even a game that's going to stand out at the end of the year. You're going to say, I saw a lot of games like this. And one of the things that is exasperating for me, and this is a small thing because both of the coaches that were presiding over these two incidents that I'm about to compare, Detroit on Thanksgiving and Seattle tonight, Thursday night, both those coaches are not going to be coaching the Bears in 2025. Matt Eberflus is obviously long gone, and Thomas Brown was a candidate, is clearly not a candidate anymore. I think he'll probably be an offensive coordinator somewhere next year, and I'm sure that this guy will get another shot because he's smart, and he has had a really promising career so far in his late 30s, but it's not going to be here. All of these hard lessons that the Bears have been served with in 2024, the question I'd ask is, have you learned from them? And the answer doesn't seem to be yes at all. And we're going to end up asking that on a really big picture level with Caleb Williams when the new coach comes in and we see how much of a restart, how much of starting from scratch is there really going to be when Ben Johnson or Cliff Kingsbury or Pete Carroll or Mike Vrabel or whoever comes in and tries to reset things with Caleb Williams? But specifically, I don't even know if we need to keep talking about the game other than this. Specifically at the end of the game, the Bears get the ball down 6-3 at I think their own 11 with about 5 minutes left, and there is just no urgency, no hurry. 25 to 35 seconds are ticking off the clock between plays, as though they're trying to run clock almost. The ball's getting snapped under 5 seconds on the play clock virtually every time. And the timeout usage by Thomas Brown was, and he had no defense of either of these, really. They had three timeouts, which you'd think would be a good thing. They end up in a situation where, at their own end, trying to get going, they have fourth and inches. And they need to go for it, obviously. And they are going for it until Jake Kurhan, the backup left guard who is in for Tevin Jenkins, commits just an atrocious, inexcusable false start. Like a you're cut tomorrow level false start in the NFL. That puts them back to 4-5. So then Thomas Brown says, hey, you know, three timeouts and a 2 minute warning, defense playing well, we're going to punt. Mm-hmm. So he sends the punt team out there and changes his mind and calls timeout to get Caleb Williams and the offense back out there.
And then they convert.
And then they convert, and they keep converting. And Caleb converts a third and medium, third and long, whatever it was, I think, to Rome Odunze. And Pat, with, I don't know, 2 minutes left or so, close to that, they get to the Seattle 40, first and 10. And still there just doesn't seem to be any urgency. And Caleb Williams throws an incomplete pass. I think he threw it away on purpose. He threw it to one of the Amazon Prime Video workers on the sideline. Just a strike.
Perfect. Who caught it?
Yeah. Put it right in the breadbasket. Person caught it. Guy caught it. No Keenan Allen drops there. And so the clock has stopped. And the Bears have to burn a timeout again there because the play clock is winding down too low as they're about to run their play on second down. Just unbelievable clock management. And we're sitting there the whole time. You and I are sitting here talking about, you know, how long of a field goal could you try? Because it had stopped raining at that point. Kairos Santos doesn't have the biggest leg, but, you know, what is your percent chance of success kicking a crazy long field goal versus a heave into the end zone from probably about the 50 or maybe even the Seattle 45, depending on how far you have to drop back to get some breathing room if you're Caleb Williams? Well, I have the answer to that now. Mm-hmm. Thomas Brown said that their kick line, where they could even think about it, was the 37.
Okay.
They're at first and 10 on the 40 and throwing incomplete. At that
point, no point do they run.
At that point, you have second and third down where you could run, and Seattle, probably not too concerned with the run. Could you get 3 to 9 yards on those plays and give yourself a chance at a field goal? And there was no call for that. Thomas Brown said there's not a lot of run plays that will work against a cover zero, which Seattle was blitzing and causing pressure all night. I understand why he wouldn't have much confidence in his offensive line. The offensive line's failures failed you, though, in the end anyway, because Caleb Williams gets blitzed when on the 4th and 10 and is just backpedaling like crazy and heaves it into the middle of the field and throws an interception to end the game at 6-3.
You left out a couple of details. One of them is that on the 4th and 6, when they send out the punter, the fans start chanting, "Sell the team."
Oh, yeah.
Which is hilarious for a lot of reasons.
It's the soundtrack to the game, though.
Yeah.
Amazon, I don't know if you saw, but Amazon was trying to do that. I'm pointing to Pat on the Bears sideline where the Amazon studio, on-site studio was set up. It's on the 20-yard line on the west side of the stadium. Their fans were in those sections right in there, Patrick, by where the Amazon desk is. And it was so loud that they commented on it.
Good.
On the show about, hey, the fans are here chanting, "Sell the team, sell the team." And I'm sure they had to send somebody to, like, hey, quiet them down so we can at least, you know, do our show.
I understand the sentiment, the idea that somebody who's making as much money as the McCaskies are making by watching the franchise value go up every year, the fact that they would sell the team is foolish, I think. But I get the sentiment. Also, I'm going back 4 minutes, and I realize it's not good
it's
pod.
Fine. No, it's fine.
But I'm going to go back 4 minutes. Ugliest game. Can I give you a history lesson?
Oh, you're going back a lot of minutes. Okay, you're going back to the beginning of the show. Yeah, what are you going to tell me about that?
9.5 years ago, week 3, Bears against Seattle. In Seattle, Jimmy Clausen's your quarterback. The Bears don't cross midfield. Jimmy Clausen goes 9 of 17 for 63 yards. No touchdowns, no interceptions, no points. The Bears lose 26-0. So that's worse, I guess, maybe. The problem is that Seahawks team wound up being pretty good. And the one they're playing today is praying like heck that the Cardinals can win on Saturday to keep their playoffs
alive. Seattle came into this game 8-7 with a -1 point differential, I think. They were just about as down the middle as you could be. Although, I did say going in, they're very good at – they're one of the better teams in the NFL at pressuring the quarterback. And they did that tonight. Caleb Williams got sacked 7 times. After the game, he was talking about him. He had a big part in that.
Twice he stepped out of bounds behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, Pat, that's the discussion that we should have with the rest of this episode, is fixing Caleb Williams. And tonight is kind of a good illustration of that. Getting Caleb Williams on the right track in 2025, which is just absolutely crucial for the Bears and for Ryan Poles keeping his job. And really everything about where they want to go as a franchise, getting him on track in 2025 is a two-part job. It is the Bears, who have surely done a lot of things that have hindered him in his rookie season. And it's Caleb Williams. He's got to play better. You look at this game and you see in the first half, you see Roma Dunze and Keenan Allen dropping passes on third down. You see Caleb Williams making one of his most impressive throws of the season, and it doesn't count. It's a 17-yard touchdown pass with just this incredible snap of the wrist as he's going left. Throws it for what would have been a 17-yard touchdown pass to Odunze open in the end zone. Just on a dime.
Who committed the hold, Jason?
Doesn't count because Jake Curhan commits a hold. And you also have Caleb Williams struggling to get to 100 yards passing, which that is really, you can't come up with enough excuses to make that okay. He didn't break 100 yards passing until that final drive, I believe. As you look forward to surrounding him with coaches that you're not going to have to fire 2-3 months into the season and a viable offensive line, you need to see better play from him, too. And he talked about this a little bit after the game, about his not living up to his own expectations this season in terms of A, winning, which is collective, and B, playing consistently start to finish throughout the season.
Mm-hmm. And he hasn't. And he's got to meet him halfway. And I think you and I may have talked about that. I know we talked about it off mic, as they say. We may have talked about it last week in that, you know, the franchise may have failed Caleb, but Caleb's got to help himself here a little bit too. And, you know, there are a couple of throws he made today. One, he sailed by 10 yards probably. Another he threw behind. I forget who the receiver was. He takes 7 sacks. Some weren't his fault, but a lot were. He's not overcoming the mess that he was put into. And that's not a good sign. I'm not sure it's damning because, like we've said all year, the Bears have somehow found a way to plant this really expensive plant in a box of rocks, essentially. But maybe he'd rise above it too, and he hasn't. They threw screens all day today, Jason. They threw screens all day in Minnesota. They're trying to give him easy throws. They're trying to, you know, get the ball moving in the right direction, and it's not happening. And to say that it's not Caleb's fault, I think is not at least partially Caleb's fault.
He's got a hand in it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's disingenuous. And, you know, the point we made in the Lions game on Thanksgiving, or the point I made was, you know, Caleb needs to know better, but his coaches need to be savvy enough to bail him out.
I agree.
And you know, today, ball at the 40, all you got to do is get to the 35 and you have a chance to win the game, or a chance to tie the game. Caleb should know better, but his coaches should be savvy enough to say, all right, let's get those 4 yards. And, you know, maybe that's just, you know, I mean, 3rd and 10, maybe that's just a 4-yard, you know, button hook and you fall down and you kick it. Almost any other thing would have made more sense than what they did.
If he was in a different situation, you'd look at this rookie season, even a game like tonight, and say, you know, this is fine. This is okay. If he was drafted 10th, if he was drafted 3rd, like Drake May, onto a really bad roster, this team isn't as good as the Bears thought it would, but it's not nearly as bad a roster as New England is, and the Bears weren't as far behind in putting a team together going into the season as Washington was. Washington was 2nd worst team in the league last year. The Bears were almost, you know, a couple bounces away from being .500 last year. But Caleb Williams was drafted number 1. He was drafted onto a pretty good roster, and he was drafted with the most hype in 3 years. And when he's on Thursday talking about optimism because he has proven to himself that he can hack it in the NFL, okay, but that wasn't the goal. That wasn't his stated goal, was to just prove you can survive a 17-game season and play okay, mm-hmm. and in flashes show this potential. Caleb Williams literally talked leading up to the draft about exceeding C.J. Stroud's record-setting, remarkable rookie season from last year.
Do you know who was...
That's where he said it.
Right. Ball. He also said, what, 8 Super Bowls?
Just going for 8. You know, he can't win all 8 the first year.
Yeah, by the way, do you know who hasn't lived up to C.J. Stroud? C.J. Stroud. As it turns out, repeating is difficult. But, you know, Caleb is so media savvy and is so good behind a microphone, in part because he's been trained and has practiced for this since before he could drive, that, you know, I think that might have been a misstep. Jason, you were in there and I wasn't, but, you know, at some point, like, nobody wants to hear this. You know, Bears fans who are frustrated probably didn't want to hear him on Monday saying, you know, I wake up and I tell myself I'm great, I'm going to be great. You know, that's probably not the time for stuff like this.
I think that's the thing he's handled the best.
Right.
Is okay. The way that he has talked about his season, the way he has talked about himself. I think that he has proven to me beyond a doubt that he can handle the public aspect of being the Chicago Bears quarterback.
Right.
There's a lot on the field that we can parse and criticize and all of that. But I think that Caleb Williams has, you know, for him to come in confident, nothing wrong with that. For him to be, I believe he's been very, what's the word for it, objective about criticizing his own game and where he's at. And I think he has been genuinely and legitimately upbeat about going forward. So I don't think he, and that's why I think, Pat, that he still completely has the city on his side.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody is out on Caleb Williams because he does such a good job communicating to the people. He is not shied away from any of his own shortcomings, and he has not gone in the tank and said, hey, what's the point? You know, this is all going to be bad, and I don't know when we're going to... He's not gone, like, let's say, the Cole Kmet route.
Right.
I think if Caleb... And I'm not even faulting Cole Kmet for that. I'm glad somebody is saying what needs to be said. But if Caleb Williams was saying some of the things that Cole Kmet's been saying, that'd be a really bad look for the starting quarterback.
If anything, Caleb Williams has the city on his side because the city has seen this franchise for long enough to know what bad football looks like. And who they think is to blame. And who they think is to blame isn't Caleb Williams, or at least the majority of fans right now. I don't think Caleb's been here long enough to have a list of enemies in the Bears fan base. But
that's what he said, by the way, about the chance about sell the team.
Yeah.
And you go, and all the, you know, pent-up frustration goes, well, I'm only in my first year here.
That's what I would do. Yeah, that's great. Great coaching. Whoever coached him up on that, I'd be like, most of that was before me. Right. Let's be very clear.
I just got here.
Yeah. Jason, the Bears have one more game left. It's against the Green Bay Packers on either Saturday or Sunday. The NFL will make that declaration, I believe, this Sunday. Theoretically, the NFL would not want to put this, and I'm pointing at the field derisively, this on national television. The Bears just scored 3 points, probably making them not a particularly attractive choice.
From the producers of A Thanksgiving Nightmare and 3 points in against Seattle.
Yeah, comes
not trying in week 18 from the Chicago Bears. And I don't think you want that on TV.
And you have a Packer team that may or may not have anything to play for.
Well,
so
that's the interesting part to me, is either team going to play their guys? Is Green Bay, who has already clinched and can't win the division, going to play all of their guys and go all out to win? Are they willing to hand over a game to their arch rival, the Bears, in the name of rest? Is the key question for them. And on the other side, for the Bears, it's, well, do we really want to have Caleb Williams go out there and possibly get sacked 7 more times in a meaningless game? I'm curious to hear what both sides are going to say.
I am too. They have a huge game, the Packers do, against the Vikings this weekend. I think they could actually beat the Vikings in Minnesota. But that would go a long way to determining who's going to win not only the NFC North, but the NFC in general. Because if the Vikings win out, the Vikings get number one seed, which we would not have possibly imagined when the season starts. Jason, there will be plenty of time in the next, 10 days to break down what may or may not be an interesting Packer game and what may or may not be a productive Bears finale.
And the coaching search.
And
didn't
the coach
say the name Pete Carroll this whole time, did we?
Do you want to talk about Pete Carroll real quick? I was doing the slow talking wrap-up thing.
But it just occurred to me. I mean, they played the Seahawks.
That's fair.
Carroll's in the news.
Pete Carroll's people let the world know yesterday on a slow news day that he's interested in returning to the NFL. Pete Carroll obviously won a national title at SC, won a Super Bowl in the NFL. Only, 4 other people ever have pulled off that double-double. He's also 73, going to be 73. And if you're looking for somebody who can grow with Caleb Williams for the next decade, he's probably not your guy. But if you're looking for the most accomplished coach in America looking for a job, he is probably your guy. My guess, Jason, is that they talk to him, pick his brain, and hire somebody else. But I know that you're probably a little more optimistic than I am.
The main argument against Pete Carroll is his age. I'm not on board with that.
I think the main argument against Pete Carroll is he's not an offensive coach who can coach a quarterback.
But Pete Carroll was an NFL head coach for 3 different teams for 18 years, Pat, and he had a top 10 offense half of those seasons. He had a bottom 10 offense only 2 of those seasons. I believe it was his first 2 seasons in Seattle when they went 7-9. What that tells me is not that Pete Carroll is the offensive whiz, play caller, quarterback whisperer that Caleb Williams needs, but is a guy who can run a program.
Mm-hmm.
Would Matt Eberflus was supposed to be that, remember? Right. Not even close. Pete Carroll has a proven track record that he can do it. Where it gets interesting is that Pete Carroll, the entire run in Seattle, had final say on personnel for 14 years. Ryan Poles has that authority in Chicago. So it's hard for me to picture Ryan Poles hiring Pete Carroll, and then Ryan Poles' options are either resign, get fired by Pete Carroll, or takes a reduction in power, and now I work for Pete Carroll. Add Pete Carroll to the list of people that I answer to. But I could see Kevin Warren hiring a guy like that. And imagine when Kevin Warren says, what about Pete Carroll? And Ryan Poles says, well, I don't want to interview him.
Yeah.
Well, why?
Right.
Kevin Warren would say, why? And he better have the answer of the century for why. Pete Carroll, maybe he's not a long-term option. Even though I think, you know, age 73 is created differently for all people. Mm-hmm. Pete Carroll seems completely capable of being an NFL coach regardless of his age.
Mm-hmm.
Even if Pete Carroll just gives you 3 years and it gets things going on the right track, that's a huge leap forward from where the Bears have been. We're under the end of the Nagy era and all of the Eberflus era. So to say, well, we need somebody for the next 10 years, well, let's focus on just the next 1 to 3 years first.
I think that the Bears have never operated, it's been years since they've operated, it's been since Dave Wannstedt, since your boy Dave Wannstedt, that the Bears have let the head coach kind of be the football czar. And George McCaskey has said numerous times that that's not how we want to do stuff. We want, you know, the head coach working for the GM, working for the president.
Where's that gotten them?
Yeah, I mean, that's, I mean, every argument you can make about the Bears is they should do this because it's something they wouldn't do. You know what I mean? That's the Brian Flores argument is, mm-hmm. if it makes the Bears feel gross, maybe that's the best sign for them to go do it. I respect the heck out of Pete Carroll, and I think that just his force of personality would, and his optimism.
Yeah, I think he's a good influence.
Yeah, I also think that 3 years ago when Ryan Poles didn't take Dan Quinn, Dan Quinn is Diet Pete Carroll. Dan Quinn is the guy who worked for Pete Carroll, who was the defensive assistant, who didn't have experience with an offense. Somebody,
similar personality.
Similar personality, absolutely. Similar quote, great quote. All we root for is them hiring people who are good quotes. They said no to that. Is Pete Carroll the real thing, more tempting to Ryan Poles? Could be. We'll see. I know that I think you have to hear him out.
Well, but you don't hear Pete Carroll out. You interview Pete Carroll or you don't.
Well, no, but that's
Carroll,
what I'm saying.
You know, Pete Carroll doesn't get on a plane and come here for you to pick his brain. Like, that needs to, and I don't think the Bears should waste their time with that either.
Right.
I think they should only be interviewing serious candidates. And I don't think they need to cast that wide of a net. We can wrap up after this. I don't think that they need to cast that wide of a net in interviews. They need to cast a very wide net in terms of researching and vetting people for the past month. They've already had at least a month to do that, depending on when they actually got started on it. And then you should already kind of have a short list of who you are serious about in January. And for me, the whole time, my choice, all things being equal, would be Ben Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Pat, I'd also be happy and content with Cliff Kingsbury or Pete Carroll. I'm adding Pete Carroll to the list, the short list of guys that I have that I will say would be a good hire for the Bears.
I would... you and I have talked about this. I don't think...
We talked about this all night because what was going on the field? We didn't have anything else to do.
I would replace Joe Brady instead of Cliff Kingsbury. I think that... I don't know why the Bears would decide that Cliff wasn't good enough to be their offensive coordinator in January, but that he was good enough to be their head coach the following January. I don't have an answer.
They're wrong. I mean, obviously.
Is
Cliff Kingsbury the best offensive coordinator in the league this year, maybe?
Yeah, it could be. It's... Jason, it'll be quite a month, 6 weeks. Maybe the next podcast we'll just do over unders on how long it'll take.
I hope it's less.
Yeah,
January,
of course.
January, this is figured out. This doesn't need to drag out the whole month. It's not that complicated.
It's complicated though if Ben Johnson's team is still alive, and that would be the main thing that would hold it up. Would be
you can make a deal with him.
No, you can't. You can make a handshake agreement with him. Yeah. But then the Bears still aren't introducing coaches and assistants and everything else until February, which last I checked, Jason, is still 5.5 weeks away.
Hey, you got to get the best guy.
Absolutely.
If that's what it takes, that's fine. You wait till February to get him in the building.
Pete Carroll, meanwhile, could walk in the building on like January 7th and Bears would be in business. Anyway, back to the wrap-up. Jason, we will have plenty of time in the next 10 days to talk about the Bears-Packers and whether or not that's interesting. In the meantime, people can follow you, myself, and Mark Potash on social media. Check us out on the Sun-Times website, on their app, and if you live in town, pick up a newspaper. He is Jason. I'm Pat. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again real soon.